Jason. Oh, now Jeff wakes up. That's nice. All right. Acts chapter 20. I realize it's late and we won't be long. I believe in the adage, to be effective, you don't have to be eternal. Amen? Someone told me, I don't know if it's true, Lee Robertson only preached 25 minutes a sermon. 20? Tony Hudson's like that, only he gets an hour and 25 minutes. Acts chapter 20. You know, when you're preaching and you're thinking about what to, I'm not one to complain. It sounds funny up here. Just me. Sounds like I'm in a tin can, really. So don't make me come back there. I'm just kidding. It does sound bad, but as the ushers are working, as the guys are working on the PA, we'll read scripture. But there are several ways to decide what you're going to preach on. One way is it's something God's laid on your heart. There's something that's touched your heart, and it's boiling up inside of you, and it's just something that's really speaking to your heart, and you share that with people. Another way is you simply pray. So, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And then the third way, the way I chose, is pastor said, I'm going to be out of town. I want you to preach on the blessings of giving. So I just felt like that's what God wanted me to do tonight. That's why it's going to be a short message. Just kidding. Blessings of giving. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. We'll read a few verses here. Of course, Paul is looking to go to Jerusalem. He's meeting with some of the elders, leaders of the church at Ephesus, and he's giving them some final commands before he leaves. And he says, oh, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In the key verse, we've heard it 100 times, a million times probably. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we all know that there is some blessing when we do receive. If someone gives you a gift, you don't say, I wish they wouldn't have done that. Oh, now you say that, but you don't mean it. You know, if you said that, oh, I wish you would have done that, and somebody says, fine, I'll take it back. No, it's fine, I don't should be offended. But there is some blessing when someone takes, they're courteous, they give you a note, or they give you a gift or a little something. And there is a blessing to that, but there's far more blessing when you're the one giving than when you are the one receiving. I'm glad that early in my Christian life, giving was never a problem for me. I got saved when I was 15 years old. I was in 10th grade, Easter Sunday, which is coming up, be an anniversary, Easter Sunday 1978. And I got saved then. I started serving the Lord when I was 17. And I didn't know a lot about Christianity. The first time I ever went to church, I was 6th grade. First time I ever went to church. Second time I was 15. So I didn't have much church background. But there was something very interesting. When I got right with God, I don't know where I got it from. I don't know if I had heard television evangelists. I don't know. I just knew you were supposed to give the tithe. You're just supposed to give. I knew that. And so that was never an issue for me. And I wasn't like some of our teenagers who believe in tithing because they don't have jobs. It's easy to believe in something you don't have to practice. Amen? We'll really know if you believe in tithing when you get a job, when you get out in the real world and you start working. We'll find out if you still believe that. Unlike you, I had a good job. I got out of high school early, thanks to the assistant principal there. She helped me with that. She asked me on several occasions, don't come back. So I was working for my dad, making good money, but I never had a problem giving. During this building program, we're not trying to pressure you. No one pressures. That's not the type of church we are. That's not how pastor is. But during this building campaign, I think a lot of our people are getting what's going on here. They're catching the vision for why we're giving and what we're trying to accomplish here. What we're trying to do in your family as well as mine. And we're catching that vision. And we're going to sacrifice to give. I already know what my wife and I are going to give. I won't announce it because we're going to give a testimony in a couple weeks. But I also know this. I have no idea where it's coming from. Not like pastor where God's already answered. Amen? But I do know. I know it'll show up. I know it'll show up. And if we have to sacrifice to do it, we're going to do that. But God does bless us when we give. Now, we're going to talk a lot about when we're in the context of giving financially, since we are in a giving campaign, and May 5th is around the corner. But really, it's even more than that. We give our money, our time, our talent, our treasure, all that stuff. God does bless. We don't give to get, but God is gracious and wonderful that a byproduct of our giving, God does give us things, whether it's material, whether it's blessings, whether it's spiritual. And I just want to give you, I want to answer three questions about blessings that are associated with giving. The first question I want to answer for you is this: what does God really want from me? What does God want from me? And what does God want from you? If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew 22, we'll look at a verse there, verse 37. Many of you already know this verse. In one form or another, it's mentioned three times in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, I'll read it to you. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Also in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, it said, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Well, we won't talk about loving your neighbor. What is God really saying here? What does God really want from us? Here's what he wants. Everything. Everything we have, everything we own, everything we are, and everything we can give. God wants it all. You know, when Jeremy and Simley will be getting married soon, and they'll be up here, you'll really feel old then. His kids are getting married. We're just having kids. We're young. So I'll never get to that stage in my life. Jessica, that'll never happen. They'll stand somewhere up here, hopefully. We'll clear it out for them so they can fit. And they'll sit there and they'll make some vows to each other. Now, I'm sure Simley won't be very excited if Jeremy were to say, you get some of my heart. Not all of it. You get a little bit. I'm not going to give you everything. By the way, that wouldn't go over with my wife. Actually, she probably wouldn't care. She said, man, I'm just glad I'm getting something. Amen? I didn't know you had a heart. But if I go home and say, look, you just be content with what you get. You're not getting all of it. She wouldn't be happy. And there would be no one. By the way, I just heard something on the news. Now, I haven't heard this. I heard it for about three or four seconds, and I don't know the whole story, but there's a basketball player, Andre Kirilenko. Oh, yeah. Come on. Is this true? His wife came out and said he gets a certain number of days each year where he can go fool around on her. We have a word for that. Now, they're Russian. We have a word for that in English. Stupid. She said that there's a certain amount of days that he can have to himself to go do what he wants. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Her elevator's not hitting every floor. Okay? That's just dumb. She's not the prototypical woman. They want everything. And by the way, I don't want just a little bit of my wife's heart. I want her to be fully committed to me. We've been married 21 years. I'm waiting. I'm kidding. She's given more than her share. But that's what we want. And you know what the Lord says? That's what I want from you. I don't want you just to give me a little bit. It's not just about your money. You know, you've heard the adage before. The offering plate comes by, jump in. God wants us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God says, I want you on the altar. I don't want some dead animal. I want you. A living sacrifice. And you know what? He said, that's just reasonable. You know what reasonable means? It adds up. It makes sense. So what does God really want from us? Does God want my money? No, it's much deeper than that. Does God want some of my time? No, it's a lot deeper than that. God wants every fiber of your being and everything attached to you. That's what God wants. By the way, the Lord gave us that. You look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" That's why when we have a close relationship with God and we pray, God will answer our prayer. You know why? He says, look, if I already gave my son to die for you, why would I hold out anything else that you really need? Why? And I think we ought to be the same thing. Well, what does God really want from me? He wants all of you and everything about you. Number two, why don't we give to the Lord? Why is it that sometimes we don't give any of our time, we don't give any of our talents, and we don't give any of our treasures, or if we do, we tip? By the way, God doesn't want your tips. It doesn't say, give me a tip of your heart. I said, I want it all. Right. Every bit of you. There are so many reasons, but I'm just going to give you a couple here because we don't have a lot of time and I don't want to keep you here late. First reason we don't give to the Lord is because we buy into the materialistic lifestyle lie. Oh. Brother Esposito has already talked about materialism, but the whole thing about it is we buy the lie. Yeah. The lie is, if I get things, and if I have this, and if I have that, I will be truly happy. Can I just tell you something? That's not true. It's not true. We listen to too many advertisements. You see advertisements. By the way, if they show you an advertisement, it's always some house that's immaculate and 12 bedrooms and all this stuff and everything's perfect. Obviously, that's a person that doesn't have kids. Okay? That's not reality. You can paint your house, and right after you paint it, some kid's going to put their handprint on it. They're going to kick the wall. They're going to put a hole here or there. That's kids. It's a constant thing. But we watch that kind of stuff. It's funny. You look at the sneakers our kids wear. By the way, they've done studies. You know, there's very little difference between the $200 sneakers and the $25 sneakers. And I we're like that. Now, I buy a pair of sneakers about once a year. I play basketball with the guys some. I don't play a lot, so it takes me about a year to wear a good pair out. Amen? But I'll tell you what, when we go there, I don't buy the expensive brand, but I'm not going to get LA gear. I'm not going to get Spalding. We find a pair on sale that's about $35-40. It's got to say something that, because I've seen the kids out here, you know, they're wearing a pair of shoes, the guy comes out, they're like, oh, shoes, man. You know, unless they got those 1950 Converse ones, those are crazy. That's a twist ankle looking to happen. But you know, we buy that lie. There's not much different, but they gotta have the $2, they gotta have the $200 pair. That's ridiculous. And you know why? Because we bought the advertisements. And we think that materialism will make us happy. Look, it's not wrong to have things, but things have us. And it's wrong when we have to go to extremes and cut back on what we give to the Lord to have those things. We need to be very careful. You'll be just as happy in a $20 pair of shoes as you will a $200 pair of shoes. So we have a materialistic lifestyle lie. And also, the biggest problem we have misplaced love. But by the way, we don't even understand what love really is. We saw earlier that God wants to love us, love Him with all our heart, mind, and all those things. See, what we think is this: we love God if we have some kind of emotional fling with Him. By the way, there are millions and millions of millions of Americans that every Sunday they have an emotional fling with Jesus. They come to their liberal church. They can come Saturday night. They can come anytime, five times on Sunday morning for an hour. And they'll sit around and they'll sing beady love songs to Jesus for 20 or 25 minutes. And they'll have some little emotional thing. And then they go out and for six more days they forget who Jesus is. That's not love. That's not love at all. But that's how our people pick partners now. The unsaved pick their partners nowadays. They go out and they're at a bar or they're at some party and they meet somebody and they get all emotional and they have some romantic fling and then they get married and they realize there's a lot more to life than that. You know what love is? Staying with the same person 25, 30, 40 years. We have no we don't even know what love is anymore. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Money's not the root of all evil. It's our emotional attachment to it. See, we take that love that we're supposed to give to God and we place it in money. And whenever you do that, that's not what money was designed for. That's not what your heart was designed for. Your heart was designed to be given to the Lord. And when you give it to things outside of the Lord, you will never, ever, ever, ever be happy. Oh, you might live in a more comfortable house than somebody else. You might drive a better car than somebody else, but you will never be happy because of those things. Happiness only comes as a result of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Where should our love be? Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, and Luke 12, 34 say the exact same thing. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, we place our love in money, and God says, here's what you do with your money. You put that money where the Lord wants you to put it, and your heart will be there. I'll tell you who loves this church. The many of the people on these plaques right here who have given to church and sacrificed have been in here. Brother Bauman was with us, I believe it was our very first missions conference. I think our first eight missionaries we took on, our first eight were at that missions conference, and he was one of them. We met under a tarp. We met under a tarp for years. I just remember how excited we were because we just wanted to have a building that had a roof. I remember our second mission conference we had, 95. It was pouring down rain. And all these missionaries in here, man, we're having a great church. Right down the middle, like five or six rows back, is where the two tarps met each other. They didn't quite meet up all the way. And so we had a group of people in front of this tarp. We had a wedge of water coming down in between them, and we had a group of people in the back. All I remember was freezing cold. I had the flu, and we had one of these blowtorch heaters that we had rented. And I sat right next to it. And I don't like heat, but I'm sitting right next to that thing. And man, it was all, we used to laugh, but we had teenage ushers. And one time the kid's taking the offering, and he's, I'm like, what did you just do? It's like, oh, we're outside. I spit. We met outside. He was right. You know, it's like just a tarp overhead. I thought I saw a rat. But we were so excited to get into a building with a roof. You know, those that have given, those are the most excited. Your heart's here. And maybe some of you are newer and you don't understand this, and maybe this whole planning together thing is going over your head, and that's fine. We love you, and you'll catch on eventually. But if this is your church, this is where your heart ought to be. You say, well, if my heart was here, I'd give. That's not what the verse says. The verse says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It doesn't say where your heart is, put your treasure there. It says where you want your heart to be, put your treasure there. But our love is misplaced. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. What's our affections on? If our affections are on the Lord, it's no problem for us to sacrifice anything we have to accomplish his will in our life and through our church. Let me answer one more question for you here, and we'll be done. What are some of the blessings associated with giving? Now, by the way, if you don't get blessed, we ought to give because it's the right thing to do. Right. But you know what? There are some blessings associated with it. I'll give you just three, and I'll let you go. First of all, we just have the satisfaction of knowing that we are obedient. Turn to Malachi. We'll just end with these verses. Malachi chapter 3. We're not talking particularly about the tithe. You're a Thursday night crowd. I think you understand that concept already. Talk about just sacrificing anything for the Lord, whether it be our time, whether it be our talent, whether it be our treasures, our life. It's you go to Matthew and hang a left. If you're Italian, it's Malachi. Okay? I thought an Italian guy wrote the Bible. Malachi. He must have been the guy that got the job. Job. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, when have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. We don't give to God that which is his. We're really robbing him. So we know when we're giving to him, you know what a blessing is? We can look at ourselves and say, you know what? I may not be perfect, but you know what? I'm doing everything. I'm obedient to the Lord. By the way, if that's all the blessing we got, that's enough. To know you did the right thing, it'll always be enough. Now, we do get some blessings that we're going to talk about, but just to know that we're doing the right thing, that ought to be enough reward right there, whether people like it or not. We can have a clear conscience. Let me give you better B, or number two underneath that. We can prove the reality of God in our life. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me thou therewith, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the only verse in the Bible where God says, tell you what, this verse, you could put me to the test right here, right now, and prove me. That's what he says. Someone comes to me and says, I can't afford to give in tithe. What do you think I ought to do? Say, well, don't ask me what I think. Let me tell you what God thinks. This, try it, because God says you can prove him in this area. Not me. I didn't say it. He said it. God wants to show you he's real in your life. And one of the areas he shows his reality is in our giving. I remember our first building banquet, our first building fund. We didn't get a banquet the first time. You know what we got to do? We got to come under the tarp and give money. No food. No beautiful night. Everybody dressed up in, you know, whatever we're wearing, semi-formal. Just come to the church with the black top and throw your cash in a box. Amen? And my wife and I, we made a commitment, $5,000. A lot like this time, it's like, did you have any money put away? No. Did you look at your budget and say it's coming in? We looked at the budget. The budget said, yeah, right. No. Now, I had my own business at that time. We were doing fine, but we weren't doing that fine. And I did some maintenance, and we managed some properties for a company, and I would come back and do maintenance, and they would pay me for it. Well, they had this one building in Los Angeles, and they had some lead issues in the paint. And so they said they were having an inspection in 2 weeks, and so they got some bids to paint the property, you know, and scrape it and do all that stuff. And I didn't want to have anything to do with that job because, you know, the government is, when they come in, they'll find lead, it'll come back on me, we'll have to go back and paint that huge building, you know, like 20, 25 units. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. I didn't even bid on the job. And so, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that one. So, a week before the inspection, they called my wife and said, by the way, the company had bid on it, but really low, too. And I told my wife, man, this just seems really low, but hey, that's up to them, not me. They come back and they call my wife and they said, you know what, that company backed out on us and we only have a week. Just tell Steve to get his guys and go do it. And then they said some things I really wanted to hear. So give him the Home Depot card. He can go get any supplies he needs. If he needs any tools for it, because they got to do a lot of scrap, go for it. I heard. And then she said, you can charge whatever you want. I thought, okay, now they're getting my attention here. And then here's what sealed the deal. They said, and if he fails the inspection because we didn't give him enough time, tell him it's not his fault. He won't have to hassle it. They had me hook, line, and sinker. Now, I was commuting to West Coast at that time, finishing up my last year of college, and I had like four or five guys, and I just hired them. I got them out there. I stopped by the building about four or five times on the way back from Lancaster. I drove in there. How's everything going? You guys scraping here? Are we doing okay? Here's your supplies. Go ahead. And, man, I made a lot of money. I made enough money, in fact. By the way, they never did come for the inspection. I made enough money, in fact, that before the building banquet day came, I had the $5,000 cash in hand, ready to go. God proved himself real. Now I'm waiting for him to do it again. Amen? I got a month. I'm on the clock. And I'm sure he will. The Lord always does. But it proves the reality of God in our life. And then the last thing is this. You will receive far more in return than you ever had to give up. Now, I'm not just talking about money. A particular story pastor wanted me to share with you. Back before I started working full-time at the church, when we did have our own business, we lived over in a real nice house on the east side. We were doing really well financially. Things were going great. We had a nice house. We were over there. And then pastor asked me to work full-time here, and the salary was kind of like nowhere near. It was nowhere near what I was making. It wasn't even the tithe. Amen? So we decided, my wife and I said, you know what, we'll do it. Now, what was the blessing you got from that? Here was a blessing. We got to move out of the house. We had to move down on Broadway and manage a property right in the middle of Gainesville. Me, my wife, our six kids, and my sister-in-law. We called her Alice. You know, we're the Brady Bunch, three kids, three boys. She was Alice. Only she didn't do any work. I'm kidding. That was the blessing. We got to live in that apartment was not the size of my living room and my family room and my bedroom right now. It was small. Very small. And after 3 years of that, because we did, my wife managed it. She did a fabulous job. It was always full, money-making property. But somebody in the company decided to count the number of kids we had. So wait a minute, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And it was real upscale. It was a very expensive apartment. They started charging outrageous prices. They said, you know what, enough. You guys are out. We want to get another manager. We're going to start redoing these things. We're going to start charging a lot of money. And we really, you know, we had more kids than the rest of the apartment put together, 36 units. And it wasn't even close. It was like double. You know, it was just no kids there. A couple babies, I think. And so they kicked us out. We didn't have any, you know, it's like, well, we saved up for a house, nothing. I didn't have any money. But through a series of events, we decided, well, and I don't even know why we were looking. It's like, let's just look for a house. Now, we didn't have any money down. My brother-in-law said he'd give us, you know, he would lend us $10,000, 10, 20. What can you get for that, you know? And we didn't know it. After a few months, and we had to find a place. They already hired new managers. I'm kind of glad they were drug dealers, messed up the whole place. It was great. So you guys should have kept us. Six kids, but we weren't dealing drugs, amen? May have some toys and some noise, but we're okay. And we started looking for a place, and make a long story short, we looked at some repos and things, and just nothing worked out. And so it's like, you know what, we need to just find another apartment to manage. We couldn't afford a place anyhow. And I had made that decision in my mind, and a realtor said, just go look at this one house over here, over on the east side. It's right up against the freeway, so it's real cheap. It's small, but go look at it. So I thought, we'll go look at it. And I went over there and looked at it, and it was way too small. It was too expensive. But on the way out, I saw a house that had a sign that said, for sale by owner. Now, I didn't know anything about real estate. I thought, well, for sale by owner, maybe it's cheaper. So I wrote the number down, and I found out later it wasn't cheaper. But if I saw that sign, I said, let me just take a couple minutes and drive around here. Maybe I can find another one like that. And the first block I went on, over on El Cedro, I saw one that said, for sale by owner. So I thought, I'll write that number down. So my wife and I, it was our date night, we went over there, I said, let me just call this place. We went to my one house, a guy wanted outrageous money. It's like, we could never afford it. What are we doing? We can't buy it. We don't even have money for a down payment. Let's just go get an apartment. Well, we said, let's just check this one right here. We called the lady, went over there. Come to find out, they're in foreclosure. They were losing the house in 5 days. Long story short, we talked to them. They wanted us to buy it. She called me at work on, like, I think it was like 2 days later, and said, nope, can't sell it to you, no deal. And I had a prayer meeting right there in my office. Now, I don't suggest you pray like this. This is not how you pray to the Lord. I thought, Lord, you know, this isn't right. I said, this is the only place, because it's so cheap and they're in foreclosure, I could actually afford. I mean, I can borrow the money from my brother and I can pay him back, get a home equity loan as soon as I get it. I said, now, why would you want me to go manage a property or go pay rent to somebody? That's just not good stewardship, Lord. I said, now, if that's what you want, I'll do it. But it just seems to me that you wouldn't want us to do that. And I left it at that. Next day, the lady called, boom, you can have the house. You know what the house is? It's one block away from the house we gave up when we came to work at the church. Exact same area. I think it's almost God's way of saying, you know what, if you were willing to give that up for me, I'll just give it back to you right where you were. That place is cheaper than we could even rent a place. I would tell you, but it's ridiculous. And I just think that's one way, and God's blessed me in so many other ways. He doesn't just give you stuff, but I think it was one way God said, you know what, if you sacrifice, I'm going to pay you back. By the way, I used to hear those stories. I was up in Lancaster. I heard Brother Schmidt. We didn't have a house. And my grandmother, I didn't even know her. She sent me $30,000. I'm thinking, man, where's my grandmother? You know, I'm like, where's Zach's grandmother? If you have a grandmother, I'll call her. I'll give her an email or something. And I heard that story in college, and I thought, that'll never happen to me. That's not fair. But God did that for us. My grandmother didn't give me a penny. Now, what am I saying is this. You know what? And even if God didn't give me a house, you know, he's blessed us so much. I could never outgive God. Never. I am so glad I've been in this church since day one, because I've seen what God has done. You know, if you say, how has all this taken place? I have no idea. I shake my head. I know one thing. We have a pastor that loves God and is godly and is the best Christian I know. He's humble, like myself. And you know what? Through all the years, the people in the church said, let's just see what God can do, and let's just do what we can, and let's sacrifice. And you know what? God has always blessed that. Always. Always. I never thought we'd be in a building like this, let alone be looking to build a brand new one. Now, I know pastor, he'd get up and say, hey, we're going to build a new building. I'm like, yeah, right. Yep. Amen, pastor. Yeah. We couldn't even build a shack right. Remember the shacks on Pacific Avenue? And the foundation looks like some drunk guy laid it. You know why? Because we were out there at 9 o'clock at night with no lights laying a foundation. The thing's all crookedy. But now we're going to build a building because God is faithful when we give back to Him. Maybe you're nervous about this whole thing. Let me just tell you something. You listen to what God says, and God will never steer you wrong. I guarantee it. Let's pray together.